Hello, and welcome to the University of Chicago Law School. My name is Dan Bleeker.
And I'm Meredith Waters.
This tour is designed to help you get to know the University of Chicago Law School, tell you a little bit about what to expect in your first year here, and tell you what makes the U of C such a different place to go to law school. Feel free to pause, rewind, or fast-forward the tour at any point. We won't be mad. If at any time you become lost or confused, feel free to ask a current law student or professor for help. Except maybe Professor Epstein. You might end up talking to him until your first year here actually begins.
Before we get started, let's introduce ourselves. We both just finished our first, or 1L, year of school here. I'm from Dallas and was out of school for 3 years before I started here, running a small private tutoring business. I graduated from Southern Methodist University in 2003 after studying Italian and art. So far, I really like it here at the U of C, and I like the city of Chicago.
I grew up in New Jersey, greatest state of the union, don't make fun, and came to Chicago after graduating from Hamilton College in New York State last year. I majored in sociology and government in college and plan to go to law school for as long as I can remember. Chicago was my first choice school, and I'm excited to show you some of the reasons why I think I made the right decision.
Right now, you should be standing at or near the circulation desk in the main reading room of Chicago's brand new D'Angelo Library Tower. The library tower is 6 floors high and forms the heart of the law school complex. This entire space, including all the floors above, was completely renovated in 2007 to replace what had become a 70s-era museum piece of lime green chairs and damaged wood tables. You all do not know how lucky you are.
As you can see, today's library space is beautiful and cutting edge. Like the rest of the law school, it offers wireless internet access throughout and plenty of outlets to plug in laptops. Many of the most popular student study spaces are located on this floor of the main reading room. The tables in the middle of the space are a nice, communal place to work, while the smaller tables along the windows provide a more secluded spot to study and enjoy the view of the law school's fountain and the main campus beyond the midway.
Feel free to walk among these tables and book stacks to get a feel for this place. You'll be spending a good portion of your time here next year. It's okay. We'll wait. In addition to the tables in the main reading room, the library provides a wide array of comfortable places for students to work. Carrels line the outside of each of the upper floors, and students who work for journals or professors can have them individually assigned to them. It's like your own little office at the law school. There are also a series of small conference rooms that students can reserve for group study sessions or club meetings.
The library is home to more than just space, of course. Chicago owns hundreds of thousands of legal volumes, including almost every published statute, session law, and reported decision of both the United States and the British Commonwealth. Major sections of the collection also address international and comparative law from around the globe. In all honesty, though, you'll probably won't open any of these August volumes, at least as a first year. The majority of your work will come from your textbook, or casebook, as we fancy law students like to call them. Any outside research you need to do, most likely from your Bigelow assignments, more of which later on, will be done online.
Westlaw and LexisNexis are the two major online legal databases. Chicago provides all students with free access to both services, something you'll learn to appreciate in your first legal job when you realize how amazingly expensive these services can be. In addition to access, you can also print as much as you want from both services free of charge in the library's printer room. It's on the eastern side of the third floor if you want to check it out.
When you're done exploring the main reading room, walk up the shiny new staircase in the center of this space to check out the third floor of the library tower. This floor houses the Student Services suite of offices, including the Dean of Students, Office of Career Services, and the Office of Admissions and Financial Aid. One of the best parts of going to a small, intimate law school such as Chicago is the extent to which you really get to know members of the administration and how they get to know you. Dean Richardson, the Dean of Students, in addition to being one of the nicest people you will ever meet, is something of the law school's resident mom, looking out for students' academic best interest, but also their personal and physical well-being as well. One snowy day last winter, she even went so far as to hand me a knit law school hat on my way out the door. Stop in and say hello. She'll be glad you did.
Equally helpful is the Office of Career Services. Right at the beginning of your 1L year, you'll sign up for a meeting about job placement for your 1L summer. While it might seem like you have barely settled in and it's way too early to be talking about summer jobs, it shows how seriously the school takes career services. For their 1L summer, students work for law firms, governments, public interest organizations, the law school's clinics, which we'll discuss a little later, or for professors doing research. Dan and I were both research assistants for Dean Lovemore last summer, and also spent some time putting together this fabulous audio tour. In short, you will have more input and guidance than you know what to do with. Dean Abby Willard, my career services advisor, has been really helpful and is very knowledgeable about every possible legal career. She helped me figure out the Texas legal market, gave me information on public interest careers, and really helped me sort out my options.
The biggest problem you will encounter in the career service arena is having too many options. Over 500 employers come to on-campus interviewing in the fall of 2L year, and you will have many, many firms interested in hiring you, if you choose to work for a firm. As one professor told me when I was stressed out about having too many firms to choose from coming to OCI, this is a nice problem to have. In the end, most graduates, around 75%, do choose to work for law firms, while between 20 and 30% take a year or two to clerk for judges at the state or federal level. The remainder of the class works either in public interest, business, government, or academia. You can take a University of Chicago degree anywhere in the world, with 70% of graduates choosing to work outside the Midwest, and a sizable percentage working outside of the United States.
Now walk toward the western end of the floor, along the mezzanine walkway overlooking the main reading room, to the Fulton Room, a depository of current newspapers and general interest magazines that are meant to give law students a little break from the U.S. reports and federal rules of evidence. The Fulton family donated this space to provide students with non-law material to read, and students can often be found here relaxing with the day's copy of the New York Times or even People magazine. The law school also has over 300 DVDs of loosely law-related movies such as The Paper Chase or the perennial favorite Legally Blonde for students to check out. You can view them in the fourth floor media room, which is housed in a neat glass box. Legal Blonde was actually originally written to take place at the University of Chicago, but school administrators refused to let the production film here because of a scene in the movie where a professor flirts with a student. Yes, people are still upset about this.
Exit the Fulton Room when you're done browsing and walk across the room to the door marked exit. Take the stairs up to either the fourth, fifth, or sixth floor and check out the carrels and conference rooms amongst the stacks. These levels also contain the great majority of faculty offices at the law school. It's been said time and again, but the faculty really is the University of Chicago's greatest asset. While small in number, they are consistently rated as the nation's most prolific, publishing more scholarly articles and generating more legal citations than any other. More than just being accomplished scholars, however, the faculty are actually highly dedicated and skillful teachers, who often fight each other for the chance to get into the classroom and teach first-year fundamental courses. We'll tell you more about these classes and some of our favorite professors who teach them a little later in the tour.
When you are finished with the upper floors, take the elevator all the way down to the first level. Back on the ground floor, you'll finally get a good look at the rest of the law school. Turn left when you exit the elevator and enter the Green Lounge. This is the social heart and center of activity at the law school, and where you'll probably spend most of your free time next year. Between 12:15 and 1:30 every day, the law school has a scheduled lunch period, when you are likely to find the majority of the school's students, faculty, and staff here eating lunch, catching up on some last-minute reading before afternoon classes, playing a serious game of foosball, or just chatting with friends. We'd love to tell you at this point where in the Green Lounge the foosball table is located, so you could go and observe some of the intensity and rigor that the U of C students bring to their non-academic activities, but unfortunately your guess is as good as ours. The table is somewhat of a law school nomad, constantly alternating between the front of the lounge and the back, depending on which team can convince the others to have the sun in their eyes. Our best advice, listen for the yelling.
The Green Lounge is also home to many of the law school's favorite traditions, most of which involve free food. Every Wednesday morning, the entire law school gathers for coffee mess, the distinctly Chicago way of saying breakfast. Everyone comes to school a little earlier than usual to catch up with friends and snag some donuts, bagels, and much-needed coffee before class. The only rule of coffee mess is that there's no grab and go. You have to stay and talk at least a little while to your professors and classmates. This is a great chance to talk with professors you may not know yet. At one of my first coffee messes last year, I ended up sitting at a table with Professor Henderson as he told us all about his jobs before coming here to teach, which included his experience working on the John Ashcroft confirmation hearings. Whatever your politics, it's hard not to feel at least a little pride when you learn that Ashcroft is one of five U of C graduates who have gone on to become U.S. Attorneys General.
Every Thursday at 4, the Green Lounge is transformed into the site of the law school's other weekly mess, Wine Mess. It's a little law school happy hour where you pay for your drinks with heavily subsidized wine mess bucks, little bills featuring professors' faces, and enjoy drinks and food usually centered around a theme. Last year we had a German beer week, Mardi Gras party, and special celebrations with decorations, food, and drinks for nearly every holiday. Wine Mess is also a great way to glimpse your professors after they're done teaching for the day and have changed back into their jeans and t-shirts from their suits. You're not a real law student until you can find something like this as wildly amusing as we do. Bonus for being a research assistant. In the summer, they wear man sandals.
In addition to the weekly messes, the Green Lounge is also the site of some of the law school's annual traditions, including dinners for incoming first years and outgoing third years, various conferences, and other special events. Nearly everyone's favorite, however, is the Chicago Law Foundation's yearly auction. The CLF is a student-run organization dedicated to helping students pursue careers in the public interest, mainly by assisting with loan and bar expenses. The auction is their main source of funds. Students and faculty donate items for bid, ranging from everything from home-baked brownies on your birthday to box seats at a Bulls game with a professor. Students form groups to bid, and the most popular items, like a scotch tasting at the home of Professor Baird, can quickly reach into the thousands. A few friends and I tried to win a night of Monopoly and pizza with property professor Lior Strahilovitz, but were swiftly outbid by a group of rowdy 3Ls with money from their summer associate jobs burning large holes in their pockets. Still, there are items for every budget, and everyone has a great time.
Before leaving the Green Lounge, be sure to check out some of the pieces from the law school's vast art collection housed in this space. The four large, abstract paintings hanging on each of the lounge's walls are by renowned Chicago artist Judy Ledgerwood, and were created specifically for this space. Dan and I got to meet with Ms. Ledgerwood in this past summer while doing research for another audio tour, and she explained to us that each of the paintings represents a different view of Lake Michigan, just a few blocks east of the law school. On the north side of the lounge, by the windows overlooking the fountain, you'll find a large painted cow named Acowdamia that has become something of a law school mascot. The cow was purchased by a group of professors following its inclusion in a citywide arts festival and is now routinely dressed up for special occasions, including a Santa outfit for the holidays and academic regalia for graduation. Go and have a look, but don't try to ride it. Some students have found it the hard way that it's more fragile than it looks.
When you're done, leave the Green Lounge through the same doors you came in and walk straight through the reception area and classroom wing, down the short flight of stairs and into the Kane Center for Clinical Legal Education. Built in 1998, this building houses the law school's clinical education programs, which basically function as a public interest law firm staffed by students under the watchful eyes of clinical professors. Walk in past the reception desk to the two-story atrium in the center of the clinic for a better look around.
The Kane Center offers 9 different programs under the auspices of 3 separate clinics: the Edwin Mandel Legal Aid Clinic, the Immigrant Children's Advocacy Project, and the Institute for Justice Clinic on Entrepreneurship. The Mandel Clinic is the largest of the 3, offering 7 different projects in a variety of areas of law related to public interest. Students interested in criminal law, for example, can work for the Criminal and Juvenile Justice Project, representing Southside youths in criminal matters. Students interested in civil rights litigation can work for the Police Accountability Project, representing clients abused by the Chicago Police Department. This clinic recently won over $1 million settlement with the City of Chicago for police brutality against one of their clients. Other options in the Mandel Clinic include projects focusing on the rights of the mentally disabled, the creation of affordable housing, and appellate advocacy. In addition to litigation, the clinic also pursues a wide variety of advocacy projects, be it lobbying the Illinois State Assembly for rights of the mentally disabled, or drafting legislation to increase the affordable housing stock on the south side of Chicago.
For the more transactionally minded, the Kane Center offers a unique clinic in partnership with the National Institute for Justice, focusing on entrepreneurship. In this clinic, students help local Chicago residents start small businesses, negotiate leases and employment contracts, and sell their goods and services. One of the best aspects of working in this clinic is having the chance to sample the goods produced by IJ's many clients, which include bakeries, a salsa company, and probably the best small batch barbecue sauce you've ever tasted. The Immigrant Children's Advocacy Project is Chicago's newest clinic, dedicated to helping unaccompanied foreign children who are apprehended trying to make their way into the United States, either to reunite with family members who have already made the crossing, or as tools of traffickers and smugglers. Many of the children this clinic represents are too young to even know why they were attempting to enter the U.S. in the first place. Students in this clinic get to know the children they represent well, often working in the children's native languages.
Positions in the clinic are determined by lottery at the end of your first year, for work starting next fall. While the waiting list can be long, nearly every interested student gets to participate in the clinic of their choice by the end of their third year. As we mentioned earlier, 1Ls also get a chance to work at the clinic as interns during their first summer, continuing the work that upper-class students had been doing throughout the year. When you're done in the clinic, leave through the doors you came in, making sure to ask the receptionist at the desk to buzz you back into the main law school. Walk up that short flight of stairs and turn right down the main classroom hallway. There are 4 large classrooms on this hall, and it is here that you will have most of your main first-year classes. If you spot an empty one at any point in the next few minutes, feel free to step inside. There you'll find classrooms completely renovated in 2004, with brand new desks, wireless internet access, and insanely comfortable chairs, thank God. Neither of us was here before this renovation took place, but apparently we don't know how good we have it. If you want to sit in on a 1L class in progress, which we highly recommend, ask the admissions office for a schedule.
Let's talk a little bit about what you'll actually be doing here at Chicago as a 1L, besides playing foosball and drinking free coffee. You might want to take a seat on one of the long benches in this hallway before we get started. This little speech will take a few minutes. If you get bored, feel free to walk down one of the three staircases in this hall to the lower classroom level and check out some of the bulletin boards down there. We'll take you through this level in a minute, but looking at the boards is a great way to get a sense of some of the dozens of events that go on here in any given week. So, first, you should know that Chicago is one of only two law schools in the country that run on a quarter system. For all intents and purposes, however, the law school is really on a trimester schedule. The fourth quarter is summer break. In my opinion, this system has way more advantages than disadvantages. First, it gives the school a chance to ease you into exams. You'll only have two at the end of your first two quarters, and won't have to deal with the full load of four until the spring. Next, it gives you the chance to take many more classes than you could at a semester-based school, especially in the second and third year when most classes are only one quarter long. This gives you a chance to explore a lot more areas of law and decide what you like before you had to commit to a specific practice area at a job. Finally, as a first year, when five of your classes are two quarters long, the system actually gives you more time to spend on the fundamental legal classes than those at semester schools will get, relieving a little of the time crunch associated with these basic courses and allowing you to go more in depth than your peers at other schools. The only real downside to our system is the calendar. Classes don't start until late in September, which is actually another benefit, but don't end until mid-June. This is later than most other schools, and means that you'll probably have to start your summer job after most people have already gotten there. Still, employers understand the Chicago schedule, and are usually willing to let you expand your summer employment well into September, after most law school students are already back in class.
So enough about the calendar, how about the classes? First, you should know that the entire first-year class of about 190 students is broken into six groups, called Bigelow sections, of about 30 students each. Please don't check my math. Anyway, you'll take all of your classes, with the exception of your spring elective, with these 30 people. I think this is a great system that lets you quickly get to know a good-sized group of people and makes the already small law school feel even more familiar. It's also a good bet that some of your best friends and study partners will come from this group. Of course, you won't like everyone. Dan, for example, was in my section last year.
True. Which is why it's a good thing that by the end of the year, your section will have had at least one class with every other section, and therefore every other 1L, at the law school. All of your main first-year courses will have about half of your class, or 90 students, in them. In the fall quarter, you'll take three fundamental legal classes that will give you a good grounding in some of the biggest areas of law: civil procedure, torts, and property. Civil procedure seems to be the class that scares people the most, mainly because it's so different than any class you've ever had before. As the name suggests, Civ Pro focuses on the procedural elements of lawsuits rather than their content. This can be confusing when you're reading cases, because you're forced to pay attention to the underlying mechanics of the suit rather than the substantive arguments. Once you get over this, however, you'll see how endlessly useful Civ Pro really is. You'll learn how to take a case from beginning to end, starting with pleading the complaint and answer, moving through motions to dismiss and motions for summary judgment, past discovery and pretrial motions, and all the way to jury verdicts and appeals. Along the way, you'll become more than familiar with most of the 80-odd federal rules of civil procedure that govern every step of the process in federal courts. What keeps this course from being as mind-numbing as my description makes it sound are the professors who teach it. Meredith and I had Professor Adam Samaha, and he was fantastic. From the very first day, when he demonstrated trespass on the case by stomping on some papers he threw on the floor, Professor Samaha made what can be the driest of the first-year courses interesting, challenging, and even a little fun.
Torts doesn't need any spicing up. The entire class feels like a black comedy. A tort is a private wrong done by one individual to another, pursued by the victim without the involvement of the state. These wrongs can range from the intentional, like battery, assault, false imprisonment, and the like, to the accidental, like the mother of all torts, negligence. The cases you'll read will feel like a gallery of human suffering, but if you can take a step back, you'll see how funny some of them can be. There are cases about cows falling through roofs, barrels falling from the sky, men harassing women while wearing gorilla costumes, and kerosene-soaked rats exploding where you least expect them. Later on in the class, especially in the second quarter, you'll switch to more serious subjects, like how to divide fault when more than one party causes an accident, and what role economics should play in the tort system. But these early cases will stick with you throughout your legal career. Oh, and Dean Levmore, our boss, teaches the second quarter. He's the best teacher either of us have ever had. Ever.
Property is another perennial student favorite, again because of the professors who teach it. In property, unlike many of your other classes, your experience will be quite different depending on which professor's section you find yourself in. Half of the first-year class will take property from Professor Richard Helmholtz, known around campus as the Hammer, because of his legendarily gruff classroom demeanor. This is not the paper chase, however, and Professor Helmholtz is not Professor Kingsfield. All of his classroom ribbing of students is meant with the best intentions and designed to be taken with tongue firmly in cheek. Professor Helmholtz is also quite possibly the world's foremost expert on Roman and medieval law. As such, you're liable to learn as much history in Professor Helmholtz's class as traditional case. This is in contrast to the section of Professor Strahilovitz, where the historical analysis of property law takes a backseat to its application in modern, everyday settings. In Professor Strahilovitz's class, for example, you'll learn how a centuries-old English law designed to divvy up foxes can be applied to a Barry Bonds baseball, or how the law is struggling to reconcile antiquated notions of property and ownership with intangible goods in a digital world. Professor Strahilovitz is also probably the nicest professor you will have all year, always willing to help a student out with a difficult question. One word of advice, though. Professor Strahilovitz is famous for calling on students based on where they're from. If you happen to spot a case in the reading from your home state the night before class, be sure to pay a little extra attention.
So that's how about half our class now knows Dan as the New Jersey guy. I think I even recall him raising his hand to defend his state more than once. The law school also requires a unique introductory class during your first quarter, Elements of the Law. This class, taught by two of the school's most renowned faculty members, Cass Sunstein and David Strauss, tries to provide a big picture overview of legal concepts that you'll return to time and again throughout your career, like the value of precedent versus change, rules versus discretion, and the methods behind judicial decision making. Many students tend to shrug off this class at first, but we hear from alumni time and time again that it was probably the most important class they ever took at Chicago.
In the winter quarter, elements in civil procedure will drop out, and you'll pick up classes in contracts and criminal law. Finally, in the spring, torts and property will finish up, making way for the second quarter of civil procedure and your elective. Options for your elective are plentiful and change from year to year. Choices this year included classes in trade secrets, health law, family law, copyright, and law and economics. I chose to take trademarks, largely because of the chance it would give me to take a class from Professor Bill Landis, one of Chicago's legendary founders of the law and economics movement.
Running throughout all of this will be the Bigelow Research and Writing Program, a hallmark of legal education at the University of Chicago. At first, the Bigelow program sounds a little intimidating. Over the course of a year, you will research, write, edit, and rewrite two legal memos and a full-length appellate brief, culminating with an oral argument presented to a panel of faculty and alumni judges. In reality, though, Bigelow is a lot more relaxed than it sounds. Classes are taught by Bigelow Fellows, recent law school graduates who are using the fellowship program as a stepping stone to the academic market, following their clerkships or a few years at a law firm. You call them by their first names, and classes are small and relatively informal. Your first memo isn't graded, and the Bigelow Fellows really do care more about helping you to master the idiosyncratic style of legal writing than how you do on any one assignment. My favorite part of the entire program, however, was the oral argument at the end of the spring quarter. I'm really interested in litigation, and this was the first chance I had in law school to stand up and pretend I was on Law and Order. If this appeals to you as much as it does to me, you're in the right place. But whatever your interests, by the end of the year, you'll have a strong foundation and working knowledge of legal writing and research that will be invaluable in your first summer job, as well as your eventual career.
By now, you should have at least reached the end of the main classroom hallway. If you're not tired of listening to us yet, which we would totally understand, turn right here and head down the hall towards the Lloyd Auditorium and the Kirkland Courtroom. When you reach the end of the hall, go up the center staircase and then either the right or left flights of stairs to enter the auditorium. This space, which can seat hundreds, is used for some of the law school's biggest events. Over the past few years, speakers here have included Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez, Supreme Court Justice Stephen Breyer, and Chicago's own Justice Antonin Scalia. As Chicago does not limit enrollment in non-seminar classes, the auditorium also occasionally serves as a classroom for some of the law school's most popular courses, like corporations with Professor Baird or First Amendment law with Professor Stone, both the leading experts in their fields. Most importantly, however, at least to me, is that the auditorium is the venue for the finale of the law school's annual trivia contest. Let's just say that people here, faculty and students alike, take this competition quite seriously. Students form teams of four, and the first step of the competition is to come up with a team name that's a worse legal pun than any used in the previous years. Some of my personal favorites? Eminent Domination, Adverse Obsession, and Where the Sunstein Don't Shine. All of the questions are written by competitors, and range from childhood pop culture, what was the name of Jesse Spano's radio show on Saved by the Bell, to the truly obscure, something about Viscounts and Dutch Civil Wars. After the student round-robin tournament, the winning team is given the honor of playing the faculty all-star team during admitted students' weekend for the prize of endless glory and year-long bragging rights. And the faculty team is good. You'd never know it to look at him, but Professor Epstein is an expert in more than just torts and libertarian philosophy. The man knows his Gilmore Girls.
When you're done looking around the auditorium, walk back down the first flight of stairs outside and enter the Kirkland Courtroom. This room is a full-size, functioning courtroom, recently upgraded with the latest audiovisual presentation technology. This space has hosted a wide variety of actual judicial proceedings, including sessions of the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals and the Illinois Supreme Court. When it's not in use by a high judicial body, the courtroom serves as a teaching space for clinical and litigation classes, as well as the site of the annual Hinton Moot Court competition, open to 2 and 3L students. The courtroom also hosts some of Chicago's yearly lectures, including the Coase Lecture, named in honor of our own Nobel Prize-winning professor. And the Coase Lecture is specifically tailored to 1Ls, and is designed to show you how the law and economics you learn here really works to solve problems in the real world. When you're ready, leave the courtroom, head back down the stairs and down the hallway, and make a left back into the main classroom wing. When you get there, head down the first flight of stairs on your left, just past Classroom 1, to the lower classroom level. As if law school needed to feel any more like high school, this is where our lockers are. Don't laugh, they're actually really useful. If you're like me and do most of your studying at the law school, it's great not to have to carry your casebooks home every night. Also on this level are a series of smaller classrooms used for seminars and smaller group meetings. It's likely that your elective in the spring quarter will be held in one of these rooms. If you can find an empty one, feel free to stick your head in and have a look around.
Next, follow this hallway until it branches off in two directions and take a right. About halfway down this hall, just past the elevators, you'll find the completely new offices of Chicago's three student-edited legal journals, the Law Review, the Chicago Journal of International Law, and Legal Forum. The Law Review is a general interest legal journal, publishing articles on any legal topic. CJIL, as the name suggests, focuses on topics related to international law, while the Legal Forum is a symposium journal, publishing one issue a year dedicated to a specific legal topic. Membership in these journals is by writing competition, which takes place directly after your last 1L exams. This is a stressful time around here, but there's no need to worry about it now. There's plenty of time for that next summer.
So this concludes the building portion of this tour. To make your way back to the library, retrace your steps down this corridor and take either the elevators or the staircase to the main reading room on the second floor. As you walk, we'll try to answer some of the most frequently asked questions about Chicago. Feel free to listen to them all or just skip ahead to the ones that interest you.
First, the weather. Yes, it's true. It does get cold in Chicago. But the winters here can also be really fun, with the odd impromptu snowball fight outside the classroom wing and ice skating in the rink right outside our door serving to warm things up. Bottom line, a warm jacket and perhaps a nice pair of gloves is all you really need to survive the Chicago winter in style. And besides, global warming is on our side. As for the rest of the year, Chicago is one of America's most vibrant and beautiful large cities. The lakefront is always nearby. During the summer, Chicago is alive with dozens of festivals, from major concerts to small neighborhood fairs. There is literally always something, and often too many things, to see and do. And all of it is easily accessible from wherever you choose to live in the city, including Hyde Park. Downtown is just a 15-minute bus ride away.
Okay, next is where do most students choose to live? The great majority of first-year students choose to live in Hyde Park, to be close both to the school and each other, although a few do live up north and commute to the law school daily. There are a few different living options in Hyde Park. Most students choose to live in one of the several high-rise buildings in the area, such as the Windermere, Hyde Park Towers, or Regent's Park. Regent's Park is the most popular, and it's where Dan and I both live. Because so many law school students live there, Regents offers a nice compromise between the privacy of your own apartment and the community of a dorm. About 2 miles from the law school, Regents also offers many of the same amenities as the other high-rise buildings in the area, including a gym, on-site dry cleaners, food market, and indoor pool. If you choose to visit any of these buildings, be sure to ask about their discount packages for law students.
Another popular choice for 1Ls is the new Graduate Residence Hall, located just 2 blocks east of the law school on 60th Street. New Grad provides comfortable, dormitory-style furnished rooms, where cooking is done either in the building's communal kitchens or by campus meal plan. Having just completed 4 years of dormitory living in college, I never seriously considered living in New Grad, but a lot of students really love it. Its amazing location allows you to basically roll out of bed and into class, and its furnished rooms are a big time and money saver. Plus, leases in New Grad run only until the summer, allowing you to work in another city or move up north right after school ends without having to worry about subletting. The third major living option in Hyde Park are university-owned apartments. The university owns a wide variety of buildings spread throughout Hyde Park, each with its own unique character and style. The apartments include all kinds of buildings, walk-ups, and high-rises. Apartments range in size from studios to 3 bedrooms and are allocated by a first-come, first-served basis. For more information, see the university's housing website or the information provided with your acceptance packet.
Do law school students have fun? The short answer is yes. While Chicago is hardly a party school, your real challenge here won't be finding fun things to do, but finding enough time to cram them all in. Students here are quite able to balance the intellectual rigors of law school coursework while still maintaining a very active social life. Thursday night bar reviews, where we choose a different bar on the north side of Chicago to meet each week, are well attended. The Law School Association, sort of like our student government, also sponsors a major must-attend party each quarter, culminating with high school again, the law school prom at a fancy downtown hotel in the spring. In addition, the Bigelow sections always celebrate the completion of quarterly assignments with a night out at the campus pub, located just across the Midway.
What's the political climate like at the law school? While the law school has a reputation for conservatism, this label probably stems from the fact that Chicago is surely the most politically balanced of all the top law schools. All sensibilities on the political spectrum are represented here. Both the Federalist Society, a national conservative group founded at the U of C, and the American Constitution Society, a liberal organization, are very active on campus, and their events are attended by students of all inclinations. The two groups even co-sponsor many events, an unthinkable act at most law schools. Students here are willing to fully consider and debate issues on their merits, rather than simply reject them out of hand for failing to conform to one ideology or another. The political atmosphere is really one of respect, where students are passionate about their ideas, but very interested in the ideas of others.
Can I take classes in other parts of the university? The law school is very well integrated into the rest of the University of Chicago. In addition to the dozens of courses offered at the law school itself each quarter, students can take up to 4 classes in any other department of the university for law school credit, including the highly ranked Graduate School of Business, the Harris School of Public Policy, and the School of Social Service Administration. In addition, many classes at the university are cross-listed at the law school, allowing students to take them without using one of their 4 allotted courses. Finally, the law school itself has always taken an interdisciplinary approach to the study of legal issues. Classes such as Roman law, health law, legal history, and law and technology all draw on a wide range of cutting-edge, extra-legal scholarship in examining the connection between history, political science, business, and the hard sciences and their relationship to the law. Personally, I'm looking forward to brushing up on my Italian across the Midway at some point next year. Bellissimo!
What else should I do during my visit to Hyde Park? While Hyde Parkers often head downtown or up north for fun and shopping, there is still plenty to do right here. First, you should explore the rest of the U of C campus, which is amazingly beautiful. Highlights include the Rockefeller Chapel, one of the largest pure stone churches in the country, the Oriental Institute, an exquisite collection of ancient art and artifacts, and fictional workplace of Indiana Jones, and the Robie House, considered by many to be Frank Lloyd Wright's most aesthetically pleasing home. Daily tours are available of all three. And don't forget the world-famous Museum of Science and Industry, featuring a working coal mine, baby chick hatchery, and a captured Nazi U-boat, all just blocks from the law school. If you're hungry, some of the best places to eat include the University Market for freshly made Italian sandwiches, Giordano's for famous Chicago deep dish pizza, and numerous fantastic Thai restaurants. Thai 55 is my favorite. And there's also the Medici, a campus institution. No carving your name into a table until you matriculate, though.
Well, that concludes the University of Chicago admissions audio tour. We hope you enjoyed your visit. If you have any more questions or just want more information on any subject covered in the tour, just stop by the admissions office or ask a current student. They were all prospectives once, too, and are happy to tell you all about the law school they chose and why. You should also explore the other two audio tours included on this iPod, hosted by yours truly. The Art and Architecture Tour will tell you about the law school's remarkable building and the art in and around it. The People and Ideas Tour will give you a more in-depth introduction to the history of the law school and the people and personalities that have made it what it is. Thanks for walking around with us, and welcome to the University of Chicago.
Oh, and please don't forget to return your iPod to the library when you're finished. Tuition around here is high enough as it is.